My guest on the program, Andy Bartlett, manager, Legis State Park. Good to have you on hand. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Well, we've had quite the summer. Of course, you have quite the heat wave going on.
Yeah, it's hot.
It's hot everywhere. Down the ledge, do you get much breeze going through down there?
A little bit. The trees block a lot, but it's cooler down there too with the water and the shade, and it's not so bad.
That's it. And people can go lay in Pease Creek.
That's right.
Cool off.
That's right.
A good way to do it. Let's talk a little bit about it. This year, again, we started early on. I haven't talked to you since before, really. The big camping season got going. You did have campers out early. We know that. We did... June was just wild, the numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, did it even exceed what you were expecting? And I mean, we're talking just camping, folks, not just people down at the park, but just camping.
Yeah, just camping alone. You look at June is usually one of our busier months, believe it or not. You know, school's just getting out. People are starting to travel or take short weekend vacations, but our weekdays are filling up more and more than ever. And you look year to year, you know, I say this every time I come in, how do we get busier in the next year? And we just do. You know, we're starting to compare our numbers now with where they were at in 2021 when we smashed a whole bunch of camping records. We fell off a little in 2022 last year, but we're right neck and neck with those numbers at the same time as 2021. Revenue and guest days and individuals and camping nights, that it's impressive, you know, but there's so much that draws people to this area. There's so many other attractions in and around Ledges and in Ames and Des Moines, and that's easy to get to if you're camping at the park, that it makes it an ideal location to set up for a week or two at a time even.
Did you even have some RAGBRAI people stopping?
And we did. We had a ton of reservations on Tuesday. And, you know, I imagine it was a lot of people that wanted to get away from the noise and the busyness of, you know, the overnight town. And we were close enough to Ames that support vehicles and vendors even that follow the route probably were camping there. But so many one-night reservations on Tuesday this week that when I handed my arrival report over to the hosts this week, I said, I can't even fit the people coming in on Friday onto these two pages. I said, there's so many people during the week this week. So that's exciting, though. We're getting used, and people are coming from all over, and they're learning about the park and enjoying its peacefulness and tranquility during the week, and they'll come back.
And the good thing is they know about it. And again, we do have that accessibility. We know that, you know, even if they were just going to be one of the vendors down around in Luther or something like that.
Right.
What an easy trip for them.
There. Right. Yeah, and we saw a few bicycles go through. Probably count on two hands how many I saw that day pedaling around the park. So the traffic was not anywhere crazy that day. It was just a lot of reservations, a lot of campers coming in that filled us up for the night.
Yeah, could have had some that decided, I'm not going to go all the way to Ames. We're going to stay here at the Ledges. We'll pick it up tomorrow.
Yep, so. For sure.
The numbers have been really good. Now let's talk a little bit, because on camping, you get to, especially, you've got so many that you can pre-reserve.
That's right. Yeah, a lot of them. So 75% you can reserve in advance, and you look ahead, and the window to make reservations opens 3 months before you want to arrive. So, you know, in July, you're booking already for October, and we do our campground trick-or-treat event this year, October 14th. So that weekend is Friday night, the 13th of October, and then Saturday, the 14th, which the big event will be Saturday afternoon. There's people, the weekend's already full. When that window opened on July 13th, it was practically full already, because there was people coming in on July 10th and booking for October 10th through the 14th, that far out, coming a few days early and getting their spot. And so by the time the actual window opened for October 13th, they were already almost gone, except for some non-electric sites, which is great, because you look at the other weekends in October before that, the first couple weekends, there's still plenty of sites available. But that Halloween event really is starting to gain popularity and draw a lot of people that know how much fun it is, because the Friends of Ledges do such a great job with it.
Well, we do know that you just did Christmas in July.
We did, yeah. The weekend before here in July, third weekend in July, we usually always do Christmas in July. Campers decorate in a Christmas theme, and Friends of the Ledges give out some firewood bundles and s'mores kits and do some programming for them. So that's usually a pretty fun event, but it doesn't hold a candle to that trick-or-treat event we do. I will tell you, coming up next year in 2024, our campground is one of a few in the state that is going to go to 100% reservable. So those first-come, first-serve sites, that small percentage we have right now, they're going to they're gonna be converted over to reservable sites, and all our sites will be able to be reserved 3 months in advance. Wow. And we'll drop that requirement to book at least 2 days in advance to same day reservations. So if you're driving down the interstate or you're coming down Highway 30 and you want to make a reservation for ledges, if there's openings that night, you'll book it on your drive down that same day, or when you get to the park, you'll know in real time what the availability is. All the payments will be handled online. We'll have Wi-Fi installed at the camp entrance for people that have connectivity issues, mm-hmm. that they can easily access our reservation system or DNR website to book those sites right there when they show up at the campground. So that's going to be a big change, but I think it's going to be a nice change, especially for the visitor to know in real time what's available, and you know, no more headaches with those first come first serve sites of who was here first, who paid first, what do I have to leave on the site, that sort of thing.
We've been kind of heading in that direction, haven't we?
Yeah, our department since the camp renovation we had in 2018, our department statewide has been pushing about 2 to 3 to 5 parks a year to 100% reservable, and usually it follows a major renovation. So this year, Lake Aquabi just reopened; they're at 100%. Pikes Peak's now at 100%, and they're reopening. Lake Manawan, Council Bluffs just has a new campground installed. Maquoketa Caves was the very first one to do it. So there's several, Walnut Woods in West Des Moines. There's several right now that do 100% same day, and we'll be joining that pool of parks here next year in 2024.
So coming up,
yeah.
So it's that means. The demand is there.
It is.
I mean, that's just the thing.
It is. Yeah. When you see so many people turned away on the weekends, you know, and I hate to say it, but the first come first serve sites, you have to show up almost a week in advance if you want one for a particular weekend, because they just go that fast. You know, a lot of them reopen on a Sunday or a Monday, and then within, especially the full hookup ones, within 20 to 30 minutes, someone is there to book it again for a week or two at a time if they leave. So this will be nice. It'll be easy to see. Even last minute reservations, you'll be able to tell what's available, what's not available, and then book it from wherever you are, even on the same day you want to arrive.
So camping has been stellar, and I know you've gotten them from, I saw some of the info that you made available for the month of June, 20 plus states?
Yeah, just in the month of June, people from 20 states all over the United States, pretty typical each year to get 44 to 45 different states. So June's a busy month. July usually drops off a little, but I'll tell you what, with the Tuesday Ragbri and the fair and all the other things going on, it's really not dropping off. And
the weather was pretty nice.
The weather was nice, yeah.
A little bit cooler. That does make a big difference and stuff. It has also allowed you guys to do a lot of work. I mean, there's been a lot of, you've had a crew in there that's done a lot of trail work. And I looked a couple of times, some of the pictures, some of the things that were happening. You had crews of people in there moving some sizable rocks that are part of the trail steps that are going in. I mean, these have all been moved. They're all getting set. This is long-term improvements that are going on.
Yeah, we had a stretch of trail on Old Indian Trail, we call it. Starts down in the canyon there by the third crossing. It's a long uphill stretch of trail.
No, that's just like straight up.
It is, yeah. And so we had a project going on with a special crew we hired that bounces around actually our district of parks here in Central Iowa. They came for a few weeks, the four of them, and we supplemented them with some of our own seasonal staff. And we installed handrails on both sides of this Old Indian Trail where there wasn't handrails all the way up to Crow's Nest, which was boring in posts, which was setting rails, which was carrying up bags of concrete that we had to put as bases for the posts and the posts themselves and the hardware, chainsaws, gear, everything all the way up the hill every day. And so, and then back down again, and they do it all over. They were phenomenal. So I can't give enough thanks to that crew for the hard work they put in. But over those few weeks that they worked here, they got a lot done. And we even had a crew from Rockwell City with Iowa Prison Industries come down for a day, and they hauled material. Inmates helped haul material up and down the hills. And they were so thankful that day. They're like, this is such great weather and a beautiful place to work. And, you know, we'll come back anytime. And they worked so hard in helping us carry that material.
They were going up and down that trail.
It helped us get so much done by just simply moving the material to where we needed it up the hill.
Tell you, I walked that first day hike. That was a lot of work for me, and I was not in any shape to do it, but I made it, but it took me a long time. That that's a climb.
Yeah, yeah, and this project will help so much with soil erosion along the trail sides. You know, keeping people safe from wandering off the trail into sensitive areas or dangerous areas, creating less social trails by people wandering off trail. So it'll be really nice, and it looks very nice because it's black locust logs. So it's a bit of an invasive tree that likes to grow like crazy and take over areas. So we harvested some of these black locusts, bark peeled them last summer, let them cure, and we're reusing the material. And it's a very dense hardwood, so it'll last a long time.
So that part, that trail part's been going on, and more, again, I know you guys have been working on trails the last couple of years, and again, a lot of it came after the pandemic, because we did have a lot of the social trails that were created. People would say, well, this looks like a trail. Might have been a deer trail, but they started going, and it does have an impact.
It widens. They widen and they lengthen, and they lead to areas where, you know, it can cause erosion or be unsafe for people to even to be at, because there's a fall risk or things like that. It keeps vegetation from growing in certain areas. So it's kind of nice to have this, you know, it's not necessarily a barrier, the railings are, but a lot of people out there too with these trail steps that go up and down the hills, they like to walk alongside the steps, which leads to channelization for runoff of water, erosion, soil compaction. It undermines the steps themselves. So the railings help keep people on the steps, especially in the cooler weather when we get a lot of hikers that get up on the trail. You know, we always say when the weather gets hotter, people go down to the bottom of the canyon where the water is, and when it gets cooler, they come up onto the trails to enjoy the hiking.
So, well, that's going on, so you got to tell me, Oakwood Shelter.
Yeah, the Oakwood Shelter is still fenced off and closed, so we had some structural damage to it that came to a point where our engineering staff felt like we needed to close it because it was a risk for people to use it. So it's sitting because we just rolled over in a new fiscal year. So with the new fiscal year, it's being submitted with a bunch of other projects across the state for capital project priority funding. It doesn't come from our normal operations budget to fix something like that. We're pretty hopeful that it's going to reach right up to the top of the list as far as the department's priorities for our capital funding this next fiscal year. And within the next 12 months, we'll have some kind of a plan or work started on getting it repaired and ready to use again.
The downside is you're going to hit the centennial.
Yeah.
And it won't be available.
Yeah, it may. You know, we're early in the new fiscal year, so if we get those projects prioritized and funding allocated for them, and that's one of them, the engineering staff will get on it and get some specifications out, which they're already working on for the project.
They can move quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll go out for bid, and a contract will be selected, and then work will start.
Okay. So mostly is it just it's roofing work or
walls? It'll be posts, beams, okay. And kind of resetting the roof, the entire roof actually a little bit. And the stone fireplace needs to be tuck pointed, and so that there'll be some masonry work to it as well. So it'll get a pretty good facelift.
That's good. The roof tree fell, folks. That's what part of the beginning of some of the issues there. Let's talk a little bit about these Centennial Celebration Friends of the Ledges. For months have been brainstorming, what are we going to do? What kinds of things can we do? How is it progressing?
Yeah, it's progressing really well. So I'm excited because there's a few other parks in our state that have already reached that 100-year milestone. And I don't think there's many others, if any at all, that have a real backing behind the effort like we do with Friends of the Ledges. And it's so similar to what we had back in 1924 or earlier when we purchased this land to be a state park. We had local community support, and that's what Friends of the Ledges provides. So right now, they're working 2 to 3 hours a night this whole week and next week, and they're working on their Pufferbilly Days float for the parade. And so, I mean, they get all behind that. The promotion of the park through things like that is fantastic. They were set up to do the fun days in Ogden, but got rained out of that parade. Yeah. And you'll see them in Madrid at Labor Day and all over. They don't miss many parades. They like doing that for publicity purposes. They're just ready this week, probably before the end of the week, to release to the world a photo contest they're going to hold from now through the end of the year to accept submissions of photographs that have been taken in ledges through calendar year 2023. So there's lots of great prizes involved with that. We've got some awesome sponsors that they've obtained, anywhere from the Arboretum to Seven Oaks to Emma's Elegance to the Chamber to many others that I'm sorry I can't remember them all off the top of my head. But
there's a list.
Yeah, they're kicking in prizes to help Friends of the colleges promote this photo contest. So you'll see that on their social media pages and an email blast from me coming up here this week, where we kind of release that to the world and start taking submissions for it.
Okay, there's this year, this calendar year.
Yeah. And one of the other things that I'm really excited about for next year, you know, we did a lot of brainstorming on what would make this centennial thing just super special. You know, you look back 100 years ago and the people that drove the effort to establish Ledges as a state park, they gave us a state park. That's the legacy that they left behind from 100 years ago. So what can we do now that we leave behind for the next 100 years? And so they have worked through a whole bunch of details and are so close to finalizing everything on releasing a new endowment that they've created. Yeah. An endowment that'll plant a seed of money that can grow with interest over the years into the next century and beyond, that can go towards priority type projects, mm-hmm. of what Ledges is all about. So more details on that are going to really be released in August with a campaign to raise some funds to, you know, plant that seed in that endowment. But what a cool legacy to leave behind from now into the next century for the park that'll benefit people for years to come.
Yeah. So it wouldn't be a state foundation. It would be the Friends of the Ledges would be established.
It'll be strictly Friends of the Ledges, strictly so for Ledges State
in
Park.
Anything they do now, they focus particularly on projects, but this would give them a nice...
Nice
working vehicle.
They've worked so hard this past winter and into the spring obtaining some grants. They have over $27,000 in grants from like Boone County Community Endowment and Leonard Good and the Iowa Ornithologists Union and several others to do resource management work. So, you know, the reason we have a park is because of the resources at the park, the forest, the geology, the water, and everything there. And so they want to help remove a lot of invasive species this fall. We're going to hold fall forestry days into the fall and winter to recruit more volunteers to help do that work. So there's a lot of moving parts with this Friends of the Ledges and the anniversary coming up that are really exciting.
Right. Camping's been busy. Traffic, again, at the people will say, well, it's got to be very busy. But 2020 during the pandemic was a whole phenomenon.
People get out and
everybody was looking for a place to get outside and do something, and that was it. So our numbers did drop off after that. We got back into regular routines and doing that. But you still are getting a lot of traffic.
Still get a lot of traffic through, especially on the weekends. But you get people that come from other parks or our central office staff that come up for certain reasons, you know, throughout the summer. And it might be a Wednesday or a Tuesday afternoon. And they look around like, I can't believe how many people are here. And this year, especially, you know, every day on the weeks I go out there, there's a school bus or a daycare bus or a group that's on a field trip. And it's just phenomenal how many of those groups are starting to use the park every day of the week. So, yeah. You know, I would say if you don't like running into other people, come early in the morning or late in the evening. But those weekends are packed, and there's not a, I wouldn't say it's packed on the weekdays, but a lot of use compared to many other state parks in Iowa.
And, of course, Wildlife Camp wrapping up this week. And again, it's a one-week shot that basically the Friends help support. But it's started, I remember when you first came in and said, yeah, the University of Iowa said, we'd like to come and do a camp there.
Yeah. We're one of almost a dozen parks this year that are, again, doing a University of Iowa Wildlife Camp where they sponsor it and handle all the registrations. But we have local instructors from, you know, Madrid and Boone, mm-hmm. and some, you know, seasonal naturalist Luke is there. And so they help put the content together for it. And these almost 30 kids this year that are there spending the week at Ledges, you know, splashing in Lost Lake or stomping through the creek or seeing deer and learning about what Ledges provides as a park and as a resource. So it's a really cool opportunity for those kids, and they love it.
So, folks, if you have a child that might be interested, next year would be the next time around.
Well, yep, we'll do it again next July.
We're expecting it will be back, so good. Let's see, otherwise... other usual things are happening again. Luke's been busy, like you said, but working with this week. So he's had a lot of different programs once you get to weekends. And have you been getting some people coming from outside to come down for hikes and things like that?
We do.
He's been doing.
His programs are so well attended, and I think it's a tribute to how we promote them. So, you know, there's so many people. We have almost like a listserv that I email out his program sheet to every mm-hmm. week. And our campers that are all coming in with reservations get it emailed to them before they arrive. So It's promoted very well, and he does a great job with the programming itself, you know, to keep people connected to the resource and present new and exciting things, you know, whether it's birds or water or insects or mushrooms. Like, he's really good and knowledgeable. So he's a great asset to have there this year, and is providing some really great programming.
Andy Bartlett, manager of the Ledges State Park, has been our guest on the program. And we did have a couple of big rains, had a lot of water, went through the canyon, closed her down about 4 days or so, but otherwise really haven't had too many issues going on.
Been dry, been open, it's been nice.
All righty. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jim.